have gone too far. The theme, hey, the theme, the cover. Okay, I guess we have a little technical problem. The topic is the bringing forth of Obed. Somebody shout hallelujah. You can see that picture. You can see a woman holding a baby. Is that right? The name of that baby that woman is holding is Obed. How many of us know who Obed is? Okay, I have some Bible scholars. If you, let me hear sister confidence. The brothers are lifting up their hands. I know saying I know Bible. Who is Obed?
Grandson of Naomi.
The grandson of Naomi.
Yes.
Yes. Who else wants to add?
Born by Ruth.
Thank you. You have completed it. The grandson of Naomi, born by Ruth. Pardon me. Who was the father of Obed? Eh? Boaz. So it's not a very difficult question, I guess. The bringing forth of Obed. So from this picture on the screen, let's assume that that is Ruth or Naomi. Let's assume that that's Naomi holding Obed or Ruth, anyone. But the baby in the hand of that woman is who? Obed. So we want to look at something about that, the bringing forth of Obed. If you should look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We'll be very fast. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, this is my emphasis. All scripture, all, Song of Solomon, no, Ecclesiastes, so, Proverbs, so, all scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, is given by what? Inspiration of God. And it is profitable for what? Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. See another scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Another scripture. There's a reason why we are bringing out these scriptures. Speaking of the things that happened to the children of Israel, this is what the Holy Ghost is saying through the apostle. He said, these things were our example. There's a way he put it. He said, they are written for our admonition. That's a particular verse. He said, they are what? Our examples. All that happened. All that happened. Verse 10. Yes. Verse 11 rather. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11. All that happened in the Old Testament. All that happened on the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. He said, all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written. The reason why God penned them down is for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let's also see Romans chapter 15, verse 4. All I'm trying to say is that the stories in the Old Testament contain great lessons for us in the New. It says, for whatsoever things were written before, aforetime, they are written for what? Our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope. So all these Old Testament stories are written there because they have great lessons for us. They have prophetic lessons for us. They have they're a shadow. God allowed the stories, the statements of the Old Testament, everything in the Bible, as a lesson for us spiritually. That is what we are trying to say. And such story is the story of Ruth. One of our teachers, Brother Samuel, Brother Second Samuel, has taken this book of Ruth. But there's something I want to emphasize today. We know the story of Ruth. We know that Ruth was, second slide, Ruth was a Moabitess woman. She was not an Israelite, but through marriage, she became an Israelite. And we know that, like Sister Confidence rightly said, Obed was the son of Ruth, that Ruth bore to Boaz. Ruth the Moabitess was left in abject poverty. When she came from Moab with her mother-in-law after the death of her husband, they were left in poverty. Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because God has dealt bitterly with me." Ruth had to be going to farm, the farm of Boaz, unknown to her, you know, to reap of the field after the laborers have reaped the harvest. That was, in fact, today we'll call her a beggar. That was how serious her condition was, how pitiful. But the story did not end there. Unknown to Ruth, Boaz was a kinsman of Naomi, of Ruth's husband. So indirectly, Boaz was Ruth's kinsman. And Boaz took the courage to redeem Ruth. We know the story. Don't forget that Boaz was very rich. The Bible described Boaz as a mighty man of wealth. He was not just a normal man. The Bible called him a mighty man of wealth. So he was, today we'll say he was a billionaire. He was an odogu. He had money. He was a mighty man of wealth. So Ruth was lucky to have found favor in the sight of Boaz. Don't forget, there were two people that were able to redeem Ruth. There was a nearer kinsman who could not redeem Ruth. But Boaz, not even minding whatever will happen, took the sacrifice of redeeming Ruth. Are we together? How many of us know the story? Oh my God. Just a few hands are up. Okay, let's read Ruth chapter 4. Let's read it from Ruth chapter 4. You can read from chapter 1 to chapter 4 later. Ruth has just four chapters. Now, this is where the redemption took place. Then went up Boaz to the gates and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, a nearer kinsman that should have redeemed Ruth, unto whom he said, "Oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, if it is so, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." And what did Boaz do? The Bible says this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. "For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Malion's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day." And all the people that were in the gates and the others said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is coming to thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do that worthily in Ephrathah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar born to Judah, of the seed of which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, what happened? The Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Now, that is what we are looking at. That son was called Obed. You understand the story? We are looking at redemption. I can't start taking it from the beginning, because we know the meaning of redemption in this church. If you don't understand what we are saying, if what I'm saying looks complex to you, I beg you, go and get the past messages that we have taught. Brother Samuel, what's the topic of that particular message? You took about 3 Sundays.
Understanding the process of salvation.
Understanding the process of salvation. Very rich. He brought out all these things so that you understand what we are looking at. I'm only trying to cap it up. Ruth was purchased or redeemed by Boaz. In other words, Ruth became Boaz's inheritance. She was brought from poverty into riches. What are we saying, brethren? The second slide. Ruth is a type of the bride of Christ. Are we together? Boaz was the type of the Lord Jesus. Our condition since the fall of man is like the condition of Ruth, who was subjected to poverty, who was subjected to misery. But thank God for God that there was a mighty man of wealth who could redeem Ruth. And that man was Boaz. So who is our Boaz today? If you know, he say it now. The Lord, the brothers are more on fire today than the sisters. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Boaz. Are we together? It was Boaz that went to the gate of the city and paid the price for redemption. Redemption is not by mouth. Redemption has laws. Redemption has requirements. Are we together? What are the laws of redemption? Let's see the next slide. When we talk about redemption, the meaning of redemption, redeem, is to get back what was originally yours. Or, if this my beloved brother now is my brother, I'm his kinsman, whether from the same father or from his father's brother, we are kinsmen. If he sold into poverty, into slavery, now redemption, God has made provision for me to get him back on his feet, to get back his land, to get back whatever it is he has sold, and for him to be restored. It is called redemption. But I must pay a price to either get him back or to buy back that land that he sold. I don't know if you understand me. So redemption goes with a price. I must pay a price to get him back. And the price that the Lord Jesus paid for us was his life. But there are laws. Nobody can just come up today and say, I will be your redeemer. Don't forget that Naomi had other relatives. But not everybody is capable to perform the role of a redeemer. Not everyone is capable to redeem. These are the laws of redemption. The redeemer, the person that will go and pay the price, must be capable to pay the price. Are you with me, church? If I'm to redeem back the property of my brother, or if I'm to redeem back my brother that is in slavery, and the person that is holding him bound demands $10 million, if I cannot pay that price, I cannot be a redeemer. No matter how I feel, to redeem is not by feeling. If you are not capable, you cannot. It's just like when a king should give forth his daughter and say, anybody that does this thing, any of the young men in this kingdom that does this thing, I will give you my daughter in marriage. No matter how much you say you love the woman, if you don't attain to what the king has said, he will not give you his wife. Don't go and tell the king, I love your daughter, I will die for her. I love her more than all the men in this kingdom. The king has set a price. So it is with redemption. You must be capable. If not, you cannot be a redeemer. Not only must you be capable, the redeemer must be willing. He must not be forced. Don't forget that where we read in Ruth chapter 4, there was a man that could have paid the price, but he was not willing. Is that right? We read it now. He wasn't willing. But Boaz was willing. Just know that we are talking about Jesus and the church. This story we are looking at, be applying Christ and the church so that you get the picture and you get the message you are trying to pass. Boaz was willing. Many of us have had wealthy people that are related to us and are willing to help us in time past. Is that true? Am I saying something? So for somebody to be a redeemer, not only must he be capable, he must be willing. Now, another law of redemption is that the redeemer himself must be free. You cannot be in bondage and you are trying to save another person. That's why we say you have not received the Holy Ghost. You are not saved. You are going to carry Bible and megaphone. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. You, as Jesus, receive your life. You are not yet saved and you are going to preach salvation. But Jesus told them, tarry ye until you have received the Holy Ghost, until you are saved. So if you are not free, you cannot redeem. So for you to understand that the role of a redeemer, not anybody can just come up today and say, I am a redeemer. Are we together, brethren? If you are still flowing with me, shout hallelujah. The sisters are coming up. We are back from holiday, so let everybody be at alert now. We cannot be on spiritual holiday for so long. If not, Satan will finish us. Now, not only must he be capable, willing, free, if he is not related to that person, he cannot redeem that person. That was the law. So, somebody that is just, let me use the language, a good Samaritan, can't in Israel play the role of a redeemer. Are we together? Because it is about blood relation. Because it is about continuing the name of the dead. So it must be about protecting the continuity of the lineage. You are not related, you cannot redeem us. For you to understand why our God had to come down in the flesh so that he can partake of flesh and blood and pay the price of redemption. Somebody shout hallelujah. Are you seeing it? So this is it. These are the laws of redemption. Praise the living God. So Ruth was redeemed by Boaz at the gate of the city. Boaz went and said, Ruth, I will redeem you. I am able and capable. I will pay the price. Ruth, I am willing. Ruth, I am free. Ruth, I am related to you because I am an uncle of your husband, your late husband. So I will pay the price. And Ruth was redeemed by Boaz. Just as Christ also did what? Redeemed us at the cross. The Lord Jesus paid a price for our redemption. What was the price he paid? 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. Can we see it? 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. Our Lord paid a price. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he did what? Can we read it together? What did he do? He laid down his life for us. So what was the price for our redemption? The life of God laid down for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The death of the Lord Jesus at the cross was the price of our redemption. So he was able and he was willing. Christ was willing. Don't forget the scripture we read in John 10 that said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. If you say that Jesus was killed by another person, you have canceled the law of redemption. You have nullified it. The death of Jesus was willful because he was fulfilling redemption. He willfully paid the price. That's one of the reasons why we say that it was not Judas that killed Jesus, neither the Jews. Jesus killed himself because it was the price for redemption. Praise the living God. Are you with me? Sisters, praise the living God. Thank you. And Jesus was free. Jesus was not born into sin like every other man. No other man born of a woman could pay the price of redemption. But the Lord Jesus was not born with the sin nature. And apart from that, the Lord Jesus was related to us because the Bible calls him what? The second Adam, the last man. Praise the living God. So just as Boaz fulfilled the requirement for redemption, so did our Lord Jesus Christ. And when an object or a person is redeemed, the redeemer becomes the owner of that object or of that person. That was why Ruth became the wife of Boaz, because Boaz redeemed her. That is why we are the wife of the Lord Jesus. He has redeemed us. The glory of redemption goes to the redeemer, not to the redeemed. Was there any role? Let me ask you, brothers and sisters. Was there any role that Ruth played in redemption? She was the one in bondage. Which role will she play? So all the praise and the glory will go to who? Boaz. Are you with me? If you understand me, shout hallelujah. Sisters, what's the problem? You're not even responding today. Ogini. Let's go to Ruth chapter 4. See what I mean. Ruth chapter 4 from verse. Let's take it from verse 14. See the praise of Boaz. They were praising Boaz. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which had not left thee this day without who? A kinsman. That his name, the name of that kinsman, may be famous in Israel. So who are they praising? It was Boaz they were praising. Because redemption was a serious business. And only the courageous could undergo that task. Are we together? All I'm trying to say is that there was no role that Ruth played, because she was the one that needed redemption. Everything, it was Boaz that went to the city gates. It was Boaz that said, elders, stay here. You, stay here. You, I will pay this price. Boaz was the one that did everything. Praise the living God. So you should understand why we always give glory to God for our redemption. Nobody can say, it is because I was righteous. That's why Jesus saved us. If you are righteous, you would not have needed salvation. Are you getting me? The Lord Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. He said, those that are healthy, those that are old, they don't need the doctor. So he actually came for the sick. So how can you glory? You know, I was a very good man. I was very holy and righteous. That was why Jesus came and met me. If you are righteous and holy, Jesus will not come to you. So if you are still holding on to your past, you know, I married a virgin. I never met any man before I was married. I did not live any useless life. We that lived useless life, we are the ones that understand redemption. Jesus gave a parable to that effect in Luke 7. He said, he that is forgiven little will love little. But he that is forgiven much, the same will love much. If Brother Tony and Brother David, if Brother David is owing me 10,000 naira, and you are owing me 10 billion naira, and I say, both of you, go. Who will praise me the more? Even if you're a billionaire, you know what 10 billion can do. You will still praise me. Brother David, do not see it as a big deal after 10,000 naira. If I've not paid you, just give me time. Before the end of the month, I will pay you. But him, even if he's a multi-billionaire, it means so much. Are we together? So that is how redemption is. There was nothing we did for God to come to us. Romans chapter 5 from verse 6. Romans chapter 5 from verse 6. Romans 5 from verse 6. For you to understand what we are saying. I'm going somewhere. We are bringing it home. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the righteous. Go back to verse 6. In due time, Christ died for the holy. Eh? Christ died for who? The ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous. He didn't die for the holy. We are still reading, please. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man we won't die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet, Christ did what? Died for us. Somebody put your hands together for our Redeemer now. So we didn't do anything. Ruth didn't do anything to merit redemption. All the praise and glory goes to who? Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. But something happened. When Ruth was redeemed, she brought forth something. What did she bring forth? She brought forth life. And that life was called what? Obed. Is that right? When Ruth was redeemed, she produced something. Think with me. Let it sink deep. When Ruth was redeemed, she brought forth life. And the life was called Obed. Now, the question is, what is the meaning of Obed? Who can tell us the meaning of Obed, if you know? Let's hear you. Let me hear that, Daddy. Thank God I did not attach a price. If I don't...
Obed means worshiping.
Obed means worship. Worshipper or worshiping. Is it making sense to you now? Obed means worship, worshipper, or worshiping. The only thing expected of the redeemed is to bring forth Obed. Are you understanding me? If you're understanding me, say, you're understanding. Ruth was redeemed and Ruth produced something. Obed. Are we together? So there is an expectation of the redeemed. If you are truly redeemed, you will give birth to something. And that thing is called Obed. It is worship. Are we together? So when you are seeing the story there, you'll be wondering, Bible is not just historical. This book is God's word to us. The only thing we need is for the spirit of revelation to open our eyes. David, whether it was David or Ezra, I don't know who wrote Psalm 119. Some people say it's Ezra, some people say it's David. But whoever wrote it prayed a prayer that opened my eyes to behold wondrous things in thy word. What we need is the spirit of revelation. For God to open our eyes to see things mysterious in this Bible. So when you are seeing that Ruth gave birth to Obed, it is the bride that will understand and go deeper. If Ruth is the redeemed and Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, that means what Ruth gave birth to also signifies something. And why will it be that of all names, it was Obed? God was passing a message to us that those that are truly redeemed will give birth to worship. If you are with me, shout hallelujah. If you are getting it, shout praise God. Yeah, let's be adding some Pentecostal swagger here. Praise the living God. Because worship, the worship that Ruth gave birth to, was a form of appreciation. And it was also the confirmation of her redemption. Boaz had no right to touch Ruth if he had not redeemed her. And to show that the redemption was truly sanctioned by God, approved by God, the Bible said that when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. We read it earlier. Ruth chapter 4 verse 13. Let's read it again. Ruth chapter 4 verse 13. Ruth chapter 4 verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. That's redemption. And when he went in unto her through redemption, what happened? The Lord gave her conception. And she bore a son. She bore life, worship. The only thing expected of the truly redeemed bride of Christ is worship. We did nothing for our salvation. But once God truly saves us, worship, a life of worship. Once God truly saves us, something will come forth of us. Life will come forth of us. And that life is called worship. So you cannot say you are redeemed and you have no obed to show forth. You cannot say you are redeemed and there is no life you are giving forth. No worship. And please, brethren, when we talk of worship, we are not talking of singing. Worship is not what we call praise and worship. Worshiping, oh, that's just, there are different meanings to worship. That's another part of worship. When you say worshiping, you are extolling somebody, extolling his attributes. No. The worship we are talking of is more than that. The worship we are talking about is more than coming to extol God's attributes. Because even Satan praises God. Yes, now. Satan appeared before God. God was asking him about Job. Satan started glorifying God. Is it not because you have built an edge about him? How can I touch him? When you have built an edge about him. So he was acknowledging that you are the Almighty, the most powerful. Your hand is upon this man. There's nothing I can do. Is it not worship? That's why the Bible said that the devil, you believe that there is God. Yes, even the devils believe and they tremble. So when we talk of worship, I'm not talking about coming to say, ah, Baba, oh, the great physician, the mighty in battle. No. Worship is a life. Worship is a life. A life completely sold out to God. And a life completely surrendered to his will. The redeemed of the Lord will produce something. And that thing is called worship. So evidence of redemption is that you bring forth an obed. Life, worship. Worship is not just singing. It's a life that is completely surrendered to the will of God. If you say you are worshiping God, that means your life is completely sold out to him. So, by this definition, there are many people that have gone to church today, but are not worshiping God. There may even be people that are listening to me now, but you know that your life is not a life of worship. Because many people come to God to receive from God. After Boaz had redeemed Ruth, what will Ruth demand of Boaz again? The only thing she can give is worship. Many of us call upon Jesus because we want him to heal us, deliver us, bless us. That is the reason why many are seeking Jesus. Nothing bad with that. He's a good God. But it is an evidence that you are not redeemed. Redemption will produce worship. Praise the living God. And like I said, worship is a life sold out to God, a life surrendered to his will. Let's see John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. John Gospel chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, that means there are the false worshipers. Is that right? If the Lord Jesus is saying true worshipers, that means there are false worshipers. They are worshiping, but their worship is false. But he said those that are worshiping God truly, they will worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Can you see that this is more than singing? Can you see it? What has singing got to do with spirit and in truth? For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? So the ingredients of a true worship are that the worship must be in spirit and in truth. In spirit, because Romans chapter 8, let's read a scripture. Let's read Romans chapter 8 from verse 5. Brethren, I hope you are understanding what we are saying today. If you are understanding me, praise the living God. At least a few people are responding. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Why? It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, is everybody seeing this particular verse? So then, they that are in the flesh cannot do what? Why our worship must be in spirit? We are still talking of spirit. Let's read it again. We are still reading. They that are in the flesh cannot do what? Please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. So there are only two categories of human beings on earth. Those that are in the flesh and those that are in the spirit. And he says, if the spirit of God is not in you, you are still in the flesh. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's what? Verse 10. And if Christ, okay, that is what we are looking at. The ingredient of true worship, spirit and truth. In spirit, because if you are not in spirit, you cannot please God. So you must receive the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. So until you have received the Spirit of the living God, you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you are in the Spirit, you can't worship God. Are you seeing it, brethren? The next one, he said, in truth. Why in truth? Firstly, what is truth? John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Can we read it together? I want to go. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? So, the life must be born again and the word of God must be there. Why is this so? Let's quickly see Matthew 15 from verse 1. Matthew 15 from verse 1. So what we are saying is that without the Spirit of God, you cannot worship him. And without his truth, you can't worship him. So for you, that's why I'm saying that it is not about going to church or calling on the name of Jesus. Do you know that Jesus can do you good and yet you are not worshiping him? He said the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. We have seen spirit. What about truth? That means you must also worship him according to his word. That's the meaning of in truth. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which of Jerusalem, saying, just follow the story. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Jesus looked at them and answered, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? God said, honor your father and your mother, and whosoever will curse his father and his mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his mother, ah, it is a gift, though, I cannot help you. Because this money I have, I want to give it to God. And honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have he made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. From verse 7 is my emphasis. These were Pharisees and scribes who fasted twice in a week, who were faithful tithers, who are prayerful people. They will even pray in the streets. They will lift up their hands, everybody will see them. They were holy men and women. Jesus looked at them and said, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, what did Isaiah say? These people draw near me with their mouths. Ah, Baba, now only you I know. You are the living God. You are the way maker. They honor me with their lips. Ah, Isi Kendu. But their heart is far from me. See my emphasis. But in vain. That means they are not true worshippers. They are false worshippers. In vain, they do worship me. May your worship not be in vain in Jesus' name. Why are they worshiping him in vain? The following statement. Why? Teaching for doctrine is the commandment of men. That is why their worship was vain. If you don't believe the word of God, you are following anything contrary to the word of God, your worship is vain. Let me give you an example. Even if they took you to the Atlantic Ocean to baptize you, they took you to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, tie rope on you, tie rope on the person, let you down through a lever, and the person, the preacher, whoever, dipped you in the Atlantic Ocean. At least the deepest part is the Mariana Trench. And says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Not minding the tickets and all the money you spent from here to Atlantic Ocean. That is vain. And this thing is so subtle. Many of us don't know. Brethren, over 90% of Christians are in vain worship. A man of God will come out and say that water baptism has expired. The first step of our salvation. That you must repent and be baptized so that your sins are remitted. No matter what he does again, that foundation that he has scattered has already finished him. No matter what he does again. Because God is looking at a sinner whose sins are not remitted. So how will he ever enter the kingdom of God? And for you to know that they're in error, they keep going far, far, far. The same man of God said, the one that pains me, he will tell you there's nothing like rapture. He will tell you that the elder that said that Jesus was the Lion of the tribe of Judah did not know what he was saying. I'm talking of Dr. Abel Damina, in case you don't know. But he is popular. But more than 90% of Christendom is involved in vain worship. Let them show you where God permitted a woman to pastor a church. Let them show you where a prophet can be a pastor and pastor a church. See, you don't come to God by sincerity only. It must be sincerity and truth. Let me use the Muslims as an example. Are they not sincere? There are many Muslims that are more sincere than us. Not just Muslims, other religions. For somebody to maintain the prayer of 5 times in a day, wake up by 5 a.m. For somebody to be going to Mecca for Hajj, you are saying it's not sincerity. Many of them are more sincere. If you go to the streets and you see people that are immorally dressed, over 90% of them identify with Christianity. Over 90% of them identify with Christianity. I was in a place during the week and I saw everybody. I saw some sisters who were badly dressed. But I saw a woman that came in with a hijab on and I nodded my head. Very modest. So it is not about sincerity, because if it was sincerity alone, Jesus would not have said, I am the way, the what? Truth. Because without truth, you can't reach God. So he said, worship must be what? In spirit and in truth. In spirit, because in the flesh you cannot please him. And in the truth, because anything contrary to his word is vain. So when we say that Ruth produced Obed, are you seeing it? Obed had life. So let us bring it home. Where is your own Obed? How many of us have truly been born again? Baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you are still praying and he has not visited you, that's even a different case. You're a candidate for it. But I'm talking of some people that don't even care about the Holy Ghost. Many people care about the anointing, not the baptism. How many of us follow tenaciously the word of God and anything contrary to scriptures, we throw it away? So when we say Ruth gave birth to Obed, Obed and Ruth, Obed was not still birth. Obed was living. They celebrated and rejoiced. The redeemed will bring forth Obed. So evidence you are not yet redeemed is that you don't have an obed to show. Everyone is claiming to be redeemed. Everyone hearing me today, those that are here and those that are online. But not everybody has brought forth obed. But know something, we can all claim redemption. But note something in Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. Our redemption has a final stage. We have received the spirit of redemption now. And everybody is claiming, I am redeemed.
We are redeemed. United in love. Ah.
Nobody knows that song. You know it, ma. Sister Titi, you know it. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying. That's the anthem of my former church, Novex. We are, very interesting song. I am redeemed, I am redeemed. Without Obed, you are not redeemed though. And then, without your Obed, you will not go anywhere. Why do I say so? For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Waiting for what? To wit, the redemption of our body. So our soul, our spirit is redeemed. But we are waiting for the redemption of our body at the rapture. God intentionally did it that way. And the only people that this work of redemption will be completed in, that their body will be changed, are those that have given birth to Obed. Because Obed gave birth to Jesse, and Jesse gave birth to David, the king. So those that we meet, our King David, the Lord Jesus, must be the roots that have given birth to Obed. Praise the living God. So if you are truly redeemed, where is your Obed? Can you ask your neighbor, where is your Obed? Have you given birth to Obed? Have you given birth to Obed? If you understood the message this morning, put your hands together for the Lord. So let me take a few questions. The message is pure and simple. Ruth was redeemed. And because she was redeemed, the only thing expected of her, the only thing she did was that she gave birth to Obed. And we said Obed means what? Worship. And we said worship is not singing. Worship is not singing. Worship is a life subjected to God. And worship is in spirit and in what? Truth. So without this, you don't have true worship. So any question? Any question? Or any question on any thing that is not clear to you? Any question or anything that is not clear to you? Let me hear Brother Kephas. Give Brother Kephas the mic. Okay. Brother Jude stood up first. Let's hear you, Daddy Jude.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Though it might sound funny somehow.
Go ahead, sir.
This question might sound funny, but I want to ask it. The money that was paid by Boaz, who received it?
The money that was paid by Boaz. I believe Naomi should have received it. I believe it. But the Bible did not specify. And in his own case, he didn't even pay a particular price. The price was that he was going to marry her. That was actually the price. If he was going to redeem her, he will marry her. That was why the first man refused. I don't want to marry another woman. So the price, it doesn't have to be silver and gold. Mm-mm. The price he paid was that he married her. That was the price because she was the wife of the dead. So he will continue the lineage of her dead husband. Praise the living God.
Automatically, the land belongs to Boaz.
Of course, everything now belongs to Boaz. God bless you. Let's hear Brother Kephas. Does any sister have a question?
Praise the Lord.
Okay, Sister Confidence. Yes, Shapali.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the message. What I want to understand is, If the worship is in the spirit and in truth, and the church is a mixed multitude, how can we now know that we are worshiping in spirit and in truth?
It is a personal thing. Are you looking at anybody? That's why I said more than 90% of people that are carrying Bible and saying they're Christians, their worship is vain. It is for you to make your calling and election sure. What concerns you with the next person? Nothing concerns you with any other person. It's for you. You, it is personal. Are you worshiping in spirit and in truth? Sister Confidence?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please, I want to ask a question concerning Ruth. Please, she is Ruth is among those people that slept with their father.
What does that have to do with
no,
where?
I want to ask, is it possible for God to lay a curse upon somebody and let her remove the curse?
Nothing says that Ruth slept with her father. She is not an Israelite. She's from Moab. She was a Gentile. And through marriage, she came into the tribe of Israel. That's all.
Okay, but what I want to understand is this. Is it, but there's a place in Bible, they say that they slept with their father and they conceive.
No. Those are Lot's. I'm the children of Lot, rather, Lot and his daughters. And God did not curse them. God didn't curse them. Yes, that's the, okay, I understand where you're coming from. That's the origin of the nation of Moab. Where Ruth came from is Moab. And Moab was a son of Lot through his daughter. Not that God caused them. God did not cause them. God bless you. Any other question? Okay, let me hear you, sir. Sharply.
Aaron, it's not a question. It's just an addition.
Okay.
You say that Obed means worshiper. Obed also means servant of God. It is the servant of God that worship God.
Obed also means serving or servant. It's still worship. Thank you very much. That's why Obed-Edom. How many of us remember the name Obed-Edom? It means servant of Edom. So Obed also means serving, but it all means worship. Okay, let me hear you first. If you understood the message, put your hands together for the Lord. Okay, let me hear you, ma.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
When Jesus said, they that worship God must worship him in truth and in spirit.
Yes, ma.
My question is that, what about those that worship God and they are opening their eyes? Are they worshiping God in spirit?
But that means you did not understand how we define worship. We did not say worship is honoring God. We said worship that we are talking of is different from, worship means different things. It's different from singing or extolling God's attributes. That's not what we're talking of. We are talking about serving God, living for God. How does opening your eyes to sing, what does it have to do with what we are saying today? But to answer you anyway, opening your eyes when you are singing doesn't mean you are not in the spirit. To be in the spirit, our daddy has taught us, is not to close your eyes and I'm in the spirit. No. Why we say close your eyes is so that you concentrate. So what we mean is just concentrate and focus. And even we ministers, while the congregation is busy closing their eyes, we open our eyes because we are watching. So nothing says, there is no commandment that says when you are singing or praying, close your eyes. There is no such command. We only say so because many, we are moved by what we see. Some of us will pray and you start watching and looking. And then you are not more focused on what you are doing. And what you are doing must come from your spirit. You must be focused in it when you are relating with God. So not that. And then sometimes to avoid irreverence, you are praying, you are worshiping, you are looking. And then your thoughts are flying because of what you are seeing. So you are not going to connect to the spirit that you are fellowshipping with. That is why we say so. So if there is no other question, on Thursday, 7 p.m., during Ask the Pastor, we'll take further questions. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads and talk to the Lord to give us more revelation of his word, more revelation of his word. Let him help us to worship him in spirit and in truth.